good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Welcome to Ongaku to You, the podcast where three friends come together and bring you what is new in the Japanese music industry. This is the week of Friday, April 19th, and I'm your host, Luna, and with me we have Gray.
What's happening, dudes?
All right. It is Dos Compadres for the time being. Unfortunately, Ken is unable to be here, but we hope to have them back very, very soon. All right. And with that, Gray, how are you? What have you been listening to this week?
Pretty good. Work's been really crazy the past couple of weeks, but I'm hanging in there. Been enjoying the Tokyo single by Kazuki Hayashi, and he's somebody I've been really wanting to cover, but he has one album and that's it, and he just dropped a single. I'm waiting for him to put out a little bit more before I cover him for Music Corner. But if you want like a soulful voice to listen to, Kazuki Hayashi is amazing. Like, just really, really good. And I've been really enjoying his Tokyo single. It's been on repeat. It'll probably be in my top five of the month, more than likely. Also been enjoying Ollie's latest single, Professionalism, which features Hanya. I think is how you would say that. Very good, very fun. That's a pretty fun number that they have put out, and I'm really, really liking that. Ivy, I don't think it was new. I think I went and did a whole like, gee, I wonder what Ivy's been up to lately, and they have put out the Way I Am single, and I really like it. It's very good, and couldn't recommend that one enough, along with I Wonder by Dice. Another just fantastic song. I'm surprised, but man, I cannot stop listening to Bling Bang Bang Born by Creepy Nuts. It's really good. I love it. I will put it on just to get the blood pumping in the morning. And I've had an absolute blast with that. I also did start watching Mashal, Muscles and Magic. And it is absolutely hilarious. If you're a Harry Potter fan, Harry Potter was easily one of the inspirations for Mashal. So if you're into Harry Potter, I think you might would like Mashal. It is really good. It's very funny. It's definitely more comedy than anything, but it's pretty good. But other than that, I haven't been listening to too much. What have you been listening to, Luna?
All right, so there's actually been a good amount of stuff for 2024 that's honestly come out so far that I've really enjoyed. I'm still listening to Lana's newest EP, 19.5. I am actually greatly enjoying her vocals, and there's some solid songs off there. Ones I was already familiar with, like 99. I had already been listening to that one, and the 24/7 You had come out a little bit before this as well, that I also really enjoyed. But I think the leading track, Almost 20, is excellent, and it really captures Lana's vocals and that she's not just a rapper, that she has a really good range. And I think that's one of the things 19.5 showed, is she's no one-trick pony. And at some point, I'm looking forward to covering her for the Music Corner. I'm just waiting for her to actually drop a full-length album. This is her second EP, and so far both have been solid hits for me. And she does have a new single that actually just dropped with the rapper Lex called Akarui Heya, which I haven't got too much time to dive into, but upon my first listen, I really did enjoy it. So it's a very interesting song, and I'm honestly just looking forward to everything else that she's been releasing. And then Kodakumi also dropped her new album Unicorn, which y'all know I pre-ordered that. I'm still waiting for it to come in, but I actually couldn't wait and did start listening to it. And I mean, It's not my favorite album by her by any means. However, there's some really solid songs off here, such as Heaven's Kitchen, Tokyo, UFO, Piece of My Wish, or the new songs that stood out to me. And I already liked Vroom. I thought that was a really fun, upbeat, your typical Kodakumi song. I also, it has it her rendition of Trust Last, and it's Type K, which I liked. I still prefer the original What Shonen no Kaze, but I still think it's a solid track. And her Winter Ballatoi Machi no Doko Kade, which I also still enjoy very much. So, all in all, if you're a Kodakumi fan, I highly recommend picking it up. If you're not, it might not be the best place to start listening to her music. And then a few others that I've also been listening to. I went back to La Seraphim. I've been listening to their Unforgiven single quite a bit. There's just something about that song that just pulls me in. It's very catchy. Also, have been listening to a lot of Ayane. I greatly enjoyed the album she dropped last year. It is fantastic. Her album Hashtag 20. And she has a new EP actually coming out by the time this drops. It's called Hashtag YOLO. And it has two tracks that I'm already in love with, Lonely Girl and Gomenne. So I'm very, very excited for when this releases, and I'll be listening to that one, like, first thing. If you haven't heard her, I highly recommend it. She is a R&B artist, just has phenomenal vocals. Also, Emmy Maria dropped a new single featuring Jasmine called Right Now. If you want a great, solid R&B track that gives you those late 90s, early 2000 vibes, I highly recommend it. I'm so glad to see Emmy Maria back. She's in her element as usual. She is one of my go-to artists for R&B music. And going back to her Contrast album, her Bluebird album, and I've just been listening to her older songs and just love them. But hearing something new from her has just been an absolute treat right now, and she has not let me down. She is, the collaboration tracks she has been releasing have been on fire. Also, to that aspect, Cream's new single Picky came out, and I also am obsessed with that one. It is very centered around Minami as she wrote the song, and it's pretty much about being picky, about not just choosing anyone as your partner. And I really like it. I like the lyrics. You can tell this is a personal song for her, as she did have, I know she broke up with her boyfriend last year. So this is something that I feel like really hits home for her. And also, I think it hits home for a lot of people. So I think I absolutely love it. And it's been one I've just been addicted to. And then I just go back to I created a playlist that's like a 2024 hot list, and it ended up being more, less 2024 songs and more just favorites of mine, like Edu and Crystal K, some Cream on there, Kodakumi, Blackpink, Ayane. So just a variety of ones. I actually also added Otto in there to just shake things up a little bit, some Lana. But that's been mainly what I've been listening to, so. All right. And with that, we are going to get started with our topic. And as you know, one of our titles is we try to bring Japanese music to the world, to everyone. So things that are going on in the industry that are big. And one of those big things that is happening and has been happening, as this episode drops, is Coachella. And the reason why I'm bringing up Coachella is there is a special stage by 88 Rising that pretty much brings artists from all over Asia to the U.S., to Coachella, and to be able to showcase them and get their music out there. And they are known for bringing previous artists such as Perfume and Blackpink, 21. And we've been Utada Hikaru last year. So, and we've been lucky to be able to see their stages. And I feel like it's a great gateway for people who've never experienced their music before to experience it, and also for people who are already fans to get to see these artists live that they might not be able to if they didn't come to a event like this. So to me, Coachella hosting this and 88 Rising being able to curate these artists in this awesome set list is just fantastic. Especially, we get to see a lot of collaborations that we wouldn't normally see. And I feel like this year was a heavy hitter for the Japanese music industry. I mean, last year was heavy with having Utada, but I think this year has hit way harder and broken way more headlines than in a lot of previous years. And so with that, I am going to mention some of the big artists that are at Coachella, and the biggest headliner for them is Yao Sobi. Yao Sobi has not only, made headlines all over, and not to mention, not only did they do Coachella, they had two performances in LA around that time period too, that the tickets sold out within 30 minutes. Both shows full sold out. And that is a huge thing for a Japanese music artist, because I will say we see this a lot with K-pop. And I've honestly experienced that trying to get tickets, and it sucks. But having this with a J-pop artist, I've never had issues trying to get tickets or get into a venue. But Yao Sobi, for them to sell out in 30 minutes, that is insane. And, they weren't super big venues in general. However, still having something, two shows in LA completely sell out that quickly. And then their Coachella performance was absolutely phenomenal. And, we already know, talking about Yao Sobi, that they put their all into it. And they have been immensely popular in Japan with their biggest track, Yoru ni Kakeru. We're still talking about it to this day. Like it or hate it, it's still a huge track that has been unforgettable. And with Oshinoko coming out and their track Idol, that has really hit as well. And that has hit immense popularity. So we cannot deny like Yao Sobi's popularity, and having them be one of the big Japanese artists at Coachella is huge. And the other artist I want to mention, and Gray, we got to see them on the Kohaku this year, was Atarashi Gakko. And they have been an up-and-coming artist that have immense energy and really grab your attention. And they were another one invited by Coachella, which was absolutely amazing. And watching their performance on stage at Coachella, and you can check these out on YouTube, by the way. If you look up Coachella and look up the artist, you'll be able to find them. And they just brought so much energy to it, got the crowd pumped, and just seeing them live. They did that at Kohaku as well, but seeing them in front of this type of audience, it was just amazing. And seeing all the fans and people who might know them, might not know them, just get really into their music just made me happy, seeing that they're able to bring their sound here and just spread the love of music and get people more into Japanese music too. So that was the other big artist. Another one, which we know they've been doing shows throughout the U.S., is Hatsune Miku. So Hatsune Miku was welcome back. I will say that is a big name. I did not watch the performance yet, but I did hear from several that it was a little bit underwhelming compared to the rest. But nonetheless, still having Hatsune Miku at Coachella is huge. Being able to get that renowned of a name around really gets people going there. And one of the other last minute guests was A-Witch. So she was announced a little bit later. And honestly, if she would have been announced sooner, I probably would have tried to find a way to get my butt out there. And I want to say the cool thing about Awich is because she also is able to sing rap in English as well as Japanese, and she lived in the U.S. for some time. So she's able to communicate in both languages. And what was neat, she did give a lot of interviews there with a lot of the staff, and I absolutely loved that. And also, the thing that I really like that she did that I feel like a lot of artists don't do is she brought several rappers, indie rappers from Japan to Coachella and had them perform live with her. And I will say, like, she understood she wants to get these artist names out there. They're not big. And she's trying to help them grow their career. And one of her statements, she said she wanted them to experience what it's like to perform on a stage of that gravity. And I like that she incorporated them into all her songs. She could have easily done a full solo set. I mean, she obviously has the means to do that, has so many amazing songs, but bringing artists that she's collaborated with who aren't very big right now, bringing them here to Coachella, getting their names out there, introducing them to people who might not be familiar with, like, Japanese rap. I just thought that was amazing. And to mention some of the artists she brought on stage was JP the Wavy. She brought out Lana, Madi, Nene, and the other one, I can't remember her name. She is a former comedian turned MC. But just seeing that, being able to bring out artists who don't have big names is just fantastic and a really cool thing for her to do. And then one of the last artists we're going to talk about.
I think it's a Yurion Retriever.
Yes, Yurion Retriever.
That's who you were talking about.
So yeah, thank you, Gray. She's also featured in, I can't say the song on here because the inappropriate, but there's a song called Bad Biatch Bigak, and that's the song that she featured all these lovely female rappers in. So bringing them out for that song, I thought was amazing. She didn't have to include it in her set list. And she did a different rendition of Gilla Gilla and just had JP the Wavy versus all the other artists who are featured in it. So I like that she pretty much incorporated that. And she also did what she called take you a tour in Japan to different areas. So, like, she's from Okinawa. So she, in the billboard in the back, she actually kind of tried to show you where some of the geography was. So I thought that was really cool. But the last one I wanted to bring up was, it is a boy group called it's number_I, so it's like number one, and they are former King and Prince members, so they were also asked to perform at Coachella, and I want to say I'm really glad to see that they got to perform too. I know I'm not as familiar with their music as some of the other artists, but just having this many Japanese guests at Coachella this year was just amazing. And not to mention, I do want to say there are a lot of other Asian guests that were also fantastic. I know we mainly concentrate on Japanese music. La Seraphim was also there, and they do have two Japanese members. And I will say I personally love their performance. They brought the energy, and I'm glad to see they're doing so well. And I like that they represent both Japan and Korea in that sense too. But just to mention a few of the other ones, I do want to just give a shout out, because this is a big deal, having all these guests from Asia at Coachella. But they had BB, they had Yunmi Rae, aka Tasha, Tiger JK, Jackson Wang. I mean, these are just a few of the ones I wanted to highlight. And the really cool thing is a lot of these artists collaborated on stage, such as Number One and Jackson Wang. They did a collaboration set. Like, Jackson Wang came out on stage at Number One, and I'm like, how awesome is that? Two artists from different countries collaborating together on stage. And then you had Yao Sobi and Awich collaborate together. I mean, whoever you think see Awich and Yao Sobi collaborate. It's just a very odd collaboration. But honestly, I couldn't ask for something better. I mean, it was just a good surprise. And then you got to see Atarashigako and Yao Sobi collaborate. And I feel like Coachella really brought a lot of these artists together. And following Alsobi's Instagram, I loved seeing how Ayase and Ikuda were so happy to meet all these artists and were taking photos with them and talking with them and just so happy to be there. It just made me really happy to see their excitement. And same with Awich. Awich was posting photos of, you know, all the artists that she got to meet and just the collaborations and how all these artists have mutual respect for each other. So I just love that Coachella welcomes artists from other nations. And just seeing these artists, I think, is a big step for the Japanese music industry, and also hearing the crowd's reactions to them. And not to mention, Yao Sobi, I feel like, took it a step further, and they really got their name out there. I mean, two shows in LA, Coachella, they're doing one in Chicago, Lollapalooza in August. And no, I'm not going because it is way too expensive to try to go to Lollapalooza, and it sells out really fast. I wish if I could, though. And that, I also want to mention another big thing for Yao Sobi. They actually, so the Prime Minister of Japan was visiting the U.S. and Yao Sobi was asked to come as a guest with the Prime Minister to the White House and have dinner with the President. And that's not something you see often. So that really shows the impact Yao Sobi has had not only on Japan, but also in the U.S., for them to get asked to actually do that, I feel like that is something you do not hear often. And think about how many artists have been asked to do that, that are non, like, artists in the U.S. that are, you know, that are from different countries. Not very many. And I'm just really happy for them in seeing the success. And I honestly would love to further see them maybe do some more shows throughout the U.S. So, Gray, I would like to hear your opinion on this, because I know you're not, I don't know if you followed the Coachella thing as closely as I did, but I would like to hear your opinion on some of these artists and just how seeing, you know, the impact of Coachella and how that could have on the industry.
Yeah, no, I honestly didn't know Coachella was going on until you said something about it. That's just kind of like how far the loop of it I am. Because it's just one of those, to me, it's just one of those annual music venues. I didn't know about the international international reach that they've been trying to do over the past few years. And usually the acts that come to Coachella are just stuff I'm not into or interested in. And so I didn't know that they had a bunch of Japanese acts until you were messaging me about it. And you know, it's good to see a lot of these acts on the international stage. Even though like the only one I think I might would be interested in is Number One, and even Number One, I listened to their first release. I wasn't too impressed by it, but I haven't heard much of what they put out lately, so it might be good. But you know, I read that, you know, Coachella is, you know, they're the largest music event in the world, and they're wanting to, that's kind of like they're wanting to be that. That's their goal. That's what they're doing. And I think they're going to continue down this road of inviting, you know, international bands from across the world, or entertainers, I guess would be a better way to put it, across the world that could perform on the Coachella stage. And you know, Yao Sobi seeing their meteoric success is been interesting. It's like, I know I'm not the biggest fan of them. If you listen to the show, you know I'm not their number one fan by any means, but I'm happy for them. I'm glad that they are finding an international audience. You know, they as talented as they are, they don't, you know, I think they deserve they've earned their success. And I'm happy to see them being able to branch out into the States. Hopefully it'll lead to more, because, you know, that's what we've been wanting to see for a long time, is, you know, more Japanese artists touring in America, kind of like what you would see for other groups and bands. And you know, we would want to, you know, it'd be nice if, you know, I live out on the far end of the country. Nothing comes to where I live. You know, it'd be nice if I could, you'd be like, oh, you know, so-and-so's coming to Charlotte. Let's, you know, I'm gonna try to catch it. You know, that would be nice. Atlanta, maybe. Atlanta's real, is a lot farther than you would think. So I don't know if I could do Atlanta, but I could maybe do Charlotte. And so it's, you know, it's nice. Like that's kind of like been one of my dreams is, you know, to do it. And, you know, Yosemite might have a Charlotte show. You know, I don't know if I'd catch that or not, because it's like, I don't know if I'd want to go see Yosemite. But, you know, I probably would, just for the opportunity to report on it for the website more than anything, even if I'm not going there to really enjoy their music. So, you know, it's very interesting. I will also say that I really like that A-Witch went kind of out of her way to include other acts in her performance, like JP the Wavy and the others, because, you know, like JP the Wavy does have some stuff that I really like, and I think he is an underrated artist. I don't think enough people listen to him anyway. So if you get, you know, every moment he's on the stage, you know, when he came out, I'm certain there was people who was like, man, I don't know who that is she's singing with, but you know, I want to find out who that is and listen to more of his stuff, because he's really good, he's talented. And so it was, you know, it's very nice. And like I said, I didn't even know Coachella was going on, and I've seen them post like some live videos. Unfortunately, work has been a nightmare the past few days, and I have not had any free time to go actually watch some, because I would love to sit here and kind of talk about some of the performances. Unfortunately, life just kind of got in the way, and I just hadn't had the chance. But I will say that, you know, I'm glad that Yosemite specifically had such a breakout performance, because I've heard like that they've set like the internet on fire, and everyone's kind of talking about it, which is very nice. And I've heard you know, Le Sserafim's had a mixed reception, which is interesting, but you know, typically they do really good live shows, so I'm not certain what happened there. But you know, it's nice that, you know, all of it's on YouTube. You know, it's nice that it's all on YouTube, and you know, we can kind of check it out and you know, see it and watch it. You know, that's probably like, I definitely want to check out the number one performance when I get the time. So that's definitely something I'm probably going to do this afternoon, you know, this evening or something, or one day this week, hopefully. But yeah, no, and it's nice. Like I said, you know, Coachella, it's getting bigger and bigger, and you know, they're starting to add artists that, you know, I care about. So, you know, I may not have been paying too much attention to it this year, but come next year, you know, that's going to be a different story. You know, I'm going to be curious to see what acts they get and stuff like that. You know, no, I think it'd be cool if they had like Dice or one of the Exile Tribes, but I don't know if they'll do that. But you know, it just depends on who you can get. I don't, like, Yosemite is a big get for Coachella. And you know, I think the one thing that you have to consider is, you know, you have to look at it from the record label's perspective and point of view. And you know, you have all of, you know, Yosemite getting all of this positive press from their performance at Coachella, and that's going to lead, you know, there's going to be some people who are like, you know, I don't know what goes on behind the scenes, but you know, there could have been a couple of groups that they approached, and they were like, hey, we would like you to come to Coachella this year. And they would be like, well, you know, thanks for the offer, but, you know, and I'm certain no one would turn them down, but definitely now seeing that, you know, the positive press that Yosemite is getting, you know, they might be like, hey, you know, we got these great acts, you know, calling up some of these, the people that run Coachella and be like, hey, we got some great acts that we would love to have on stage next year. Because they're going to want the same kind of press that Yosemite's gotten. I mean, again, they'll have to earn it. I mean, you know, they're not just going to be handed it to them. But, you know, it could open the door for acts that, you know, we may not have seen at Coachella. And all of a sudden, they're like, well, you know, there's money here. And, you know, it's a good job of getting our name out and bringing new fans into the industry. So, you know, it's definitely an interesting and exciting time. And like I said, I really hate, you know, I didn't realize this was all going on, but you know, I'm glad for Yaosobi and their success. I'm glad for the success of all of the acts that were on stage. And I am looking forward to kind of how they follow it up next year. Definitely. I see me and you, Luna, definitely covering this again next year. And it's going to be exciting. And I can't wait.
Yeah, I agree. I'm looking forward to who they're going to have next year. I feel like every year they do, Coachella does a great job of welcoming certain artists to be on, you know, to be a part of the stage. And 88 Rising, I think, does a great job doing this because they look at, I mean, like, not all of them might be super popular right now, like Tiger JK. He is a legend in the industry, but he hasn't done, you know, a lot of new music like some of the others you see. And Yun Mi Rae is also a freaking legend. So I do like that Coachella does look at popularity, like Yaosobi. They obviously knew, like, hey, this group is absolutely, like, hot. They fit our vibe. Because you look at the, you know, like, what type of event Coachella is, and they really go for a certain vibe. And Yaosobi honestly fits it. And their popularity really hits on that, too. Same with Awich. And, you know, you got, like, it's a great way to just showcase artists that, you know, that they might be popular right now, they might not, but it's a great way to really bring that here. And I am looking forward to see who they'll do in the future. I mean, 88 Rising has done this for a couple years now. And I always follow who they put out. And they, honestly, like, they have picked some absolutely amazing artists. And they continue to do so. And one day I would love to make it out there and see some of those artists. But it... honestly, this is just one of my favorite things to cover, especially knowing, you know, Coachella always does their best. And I mean, like you said, Gray, it's a great way for artists to really start touring, you know, get their names out there so they can maybe do more U.S. tours and maybe release an English album, those types of things. And kind of with that, something very interesting that did happen at Coachella was I like to watch a lot of interviews with the artist, and Awich actually gave a couple interviews, and she did announce that she is going to be doing an English album. So that was her big announcement at Coachella. And that honestly made me very happy because, one, she does fit the Western vibe super, you know, fits into that Western vibe. And I know she has roots here, even though she's born and raised Okinawa. She lived in the United States for quite some time in Atlanta. And I feel like for her, she has family here too. So I think it's great that she is going to be able to do something like that. And maybe other artists will start following suit. So I'm hoping that this announcement will really help encourage other artists from Japan, Korea, you know, throughout Asia to start doing this as well. I think it's a great stepping stone. And even if you're not a fan of, you know, some of these artists' music, I look at it as a stepping stone for artists to break out into the Western, you know, the Western world, that Western industry, which I know is very difficult. So Coachella is a stepping stone for that aspect. And I really do wish her much success, and I'll support her 100% no matter what. But it is great to hear that announcement. And I mean, like, and if you guys are wondering, like, some of the set lists, they are posted online. So that's the cool thing. I know Yaosobi did, of course, Yori ni Kakeru. And their ending song was Idol. But I also don't want to spoil the other tracks they did because I just recommend watching it. Their performance was full of so much energy. You could tell they had a ton of fun. And I really wish if I could see them at Lollapalooza, because one of the cool things that I actually did not know until recently was Ikuda, the vocalist for Yaosobi, she actually lived in Chicago for a little while when she was younger. So for them doing Lollapalooza is kind of like she gets to visit a place she used to live. So for her, I'm sure it's also nostalgic as well. So I don't doubt that they are going to give an amazing performance. So if you were able to go to Lollapalooza and see them live, I highly, highly recommend doing that. I know there's a few other acts from Asia that will be there. There's a few K-pop acts. I just don't recall the names offhand. But if you're able to go check out Yaosobi while they're in Chicago, great. And also keep an eye out because maybe there's a chance they'll do like another concert while they're there, like they did in LA for Coachella. So that's what I'm really crossing my fingers for, because I'll be in Chicago in late August or mid-August. So I'm just really hoping that Yaosobi will maybe do something while I'm there. I'll get to see him at some point, but no, this is a great opportunity, I think, for the Japanese music industry. And I know a lot of these artists have been talked about on websites due to this. I mean, the exposure they've gotten from doing Coachella, specifically Yaosobi and Atarashii Gakko. I mean, Japan is just talking about it and they're very proud of them. And I am proud of them as well that these artists were invited to Coachella and seeing all the success and being able to get their names out there. And I know we all at Ongaku to You feel the same. We look forward to seeing news like this and seeing these artists be successful on an international stage. And I know it's something very difficult to do, but I feel like it's a great door opener for the industry in general. And just kind of, you know, doing a little additional talk on this. I know there's no announcements for Coachella yet. And I know, Gray, you mentioned that you would like to see one of the Exile Tribes there at some point, or Dice. So I think that's a great thing. Like, what are artists that we would like to see at Coachella perform in the future? What artists do we think would be asked due to their success at performing there too?
Yeah, that's a good question. And, you know, because, you know, I'm thinking, you know, when you think of, you know, the most popular music and stuff like that, like, you can't help but not think about, like, you know, Smile and Smile Inc. And I'm very curious if there's going to come a day where we could see one of those groups at Coachella, you know, something like Snowman, Stones, King and Prince. Like that would be crazy if they could get something like that, because they are the top selling artists currently in Japan, and you know, it would be very interesting if they could definitely come over here in America at Coachella and kind of see what they could do. I don't know if it's possible or not. They may never, but at the same time, I'm like, well, you know, if we're just talking about possibilities, you know, I think that would be nice. And, you know, we're gonna, as far as like solo artists go, like, I'd like to see somebody like Daichi Miura, just cause dude's a beast. And stuff, but honestly, if I could do like a big get, I would say definitely some of the Smile guys, but it's like Nani Wadanshi would be interesting too. So, but I think you know, when you're talking about like groups and stuff like that, I think this is more in the Exile Tribe's wheelhouse. So I think it'd be nice to see, you know, like Generations, Ballistic Boys, Little League, Wolfgang Harmony. So, you know, it'd be interesting to see kind of what they might be able to do. And like I said, with the success of Yaosobi, that, you know, that's definitely, you know, going to open up some doors and possibilities, because I'm willing to bet, you know, other record labels are looking at what happened at Coachella 2024 and they're like, man, if this is what, you know, this is, if this is how popular Yasobi got, imagine, you know, what, you know, we could do with the Rampage from Exile Drive. You know, imagine what we could do with Snowman. I think, you know, there might be more people like inquiring, like, hey, you know, we've got a great act and we'd love to be there. So, you know, it's only, and I get, like, as big as Coachella is, it's like, there's only so much room and so many acts. So I get it too. You know, it's, you know, even in the wildest dreams, it'd only be like, maybe like one or two. It's not like it's going to be like the, you know, like all the people, but you know, it would be interesting if they could do that. And I'm curious, kind of going back to what we were talking about earlier, I am kind of curious about the Hatsune Miku performance, because I've heard it's, like you said, it was lackluster, but I mean, you have to imagine the technical difficulties that are associated with an act like Hatsune Miku. I'm willing to bet that is, like, from a technical perspective, really fascinating. Even if the end performance isn't there, but you know, it's only going to get better as technology progresses. So, you know, hopefully, you know, 2025's is better than 2024's, because Hatsune Miku's mega big. I wouldn't be too, if she was there, well, this past year.
So the thing with Hatsune Miku that was the issue. So before the technology they used a 3D hologram on stage. So they did not do that for this US tour. They literally just use a giant screen. They just used like a giant LCD screen. They did not do any of the 3D hologram technology that everyone expected. And that is the issue and why a lot of people have been very disappointed and have deemed it very lackluster.
That makes sense. I could see that. And the whole time we've been talking about, I assumed it was a 3D hologram performance.
It was not.
I didn't realize it was a, okay.
Nope.
Yeah. Well, where's the fun in that?
Yeah. So that,
but I imagine those 3D projectors, man, are expensive and hard to lug around. So I guess that's also part of it.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's a lot of things with it. It probably cost and that too. But yeah, that's been the issue with the Hatsune Miku thing. I mean, if you're a fan of her, but even people I read who were fans were disappointed with it. So I can't say anything because I did not watch it. That's one of the few performances I actually did not watch from Coachella. But that's just what I've heard. That's been word of mouth among a lot of the community that I kind of hang around in, and people who did go and see her live because she was doing concerts throughout the U.S., not just Coachella. So yeah, word of mouth hasn't been like the best on that. It's just been more deemed lackluster. It's not that it was bad. It's just more that it wasn't what a lot of people were expecting out of a Hatsune Miku performance, given how most of hers are done. And, you know, sometimes when you have an artist that you really hold in high regards and you expect so much and then you do not get that, I know it really is impactful. Sorry, I didn't mean to go off topic on that. I just wanted to
put... Hey, I was the one that brought it up. Don't apologize.
I just wanted to put that in there.
No, there's no need to apologize. Like I said, I was the one that brought it up because when you talked about it, I had things that I wanted to say, but I didn't want to interrupt your flow either. So I was like, well, while I got a moment, I want to circle back around to this topic that was discussed earlier in the show. So yeah, no, it's fine. And like I said, yeah, it's... You know, well, you know, like I said, hopefully next year, you know, they're able to, you know, get the 3D projectors out there so they can do it.
Well,
right.
Coachella does not invite people more than once back. So I guarantee Hatsune Miku will not be back next year, because usually it's a one and done. Once you've done Coachella, you don't come back a second time. They try to make it fair so that way they have a variety of artists and not the same artist are coming back each year. That way new artists are able to actually perform.
Oh, okay. See, I didn't know that. See, I know so little about Coachella because like I said, historically, it's just been a bunch of acts I'm not interested in. So it's just something that's on my radar. Obviously, it's something I've heard about, but it's never something like I'm looking forward to. I know who's there. nothing like that. It's like I remember when I was in high school, I was like that with the Warped Tour, although I never got to go on the Warped Tour, but that's not a thing anymore. But anyways, but yeah, like Coachella, just, it's just something, like I said, it's never been on my radar, so to speak. So, but it, like I said, this past week was definitely educational and a good wake up call for me. So it's nice to see like their international reach and them doing stuff. So I didn't know about the one and done thing with Coachella. So
they've been doing an international thing for quite some time. I mean, I've followed it for the last couple years just because they've really been trying to incorporate more in the market, like Blackpink. Last year they had 21. They had 21 technically. It was really CL, and CL brought out 21, reunited them, so that was very surprising. But yeah, you see a lot of, they've been pushing this for a while. I mean, I will say Jackson Wang was here last year, and he was back again for 88 Rising. So for some of the Asia stars, yeah, that might be, you might see a few more, but I can't see Hatsune Miku coming back. I know they've had Kyari Pyamu Pyamu there in the past. They've had Perfume. So, I mean, not to mention Utada was last year as well. That was a really big deal when she got announced. But it's good to see that this year was bigger than last year. And I feel like each year, 88 Rising has been doing a good job of adding, getting new acts, making this bigger than the year before. And I do love that they've been pushing this, and they're also trying to get bigger stages for their artists and try to make it equal as to a lot of the US ones. And that's what I was reading this year, is, you know, 88 Rising is really pushing for that because they think they should get the same attention as some of the other acts, and I 100% agree. So I'm looking forward to next year. And as for artists, for me, that's a really hard choice because I do like to root for the underdog. So there are some indie artists that I think would be neat to see on stage. But at the same time, I mean, if you're going for popularity, I think Chanmina would be a good choice because she fits with the vibe of Coachella. You look at her music and her style, and honestly, I think she would do very, very well at Coachella. I know she does have her hands in a couple pots right now between going between Japan and Korea and doing some stuff with fashion, but I also think that's how it incorporates into Coachella very well. I also think Yayoi Diamond would be good, and not just because I like her, but because one of the recent things with her is she's been doing Southeast by Southwest, and she does a concert there every single year, and she's been doing that for a couple years. And not to mention, she actually just got her U.S. visa, which is a big deal. And it took her 5 years to get a U.S. visa. And she was so excited about it. So I could see her setting her eyes on Coachella. And she also has the vibe that fits with Coachella. Other artists that, I mean, I think I could see there at some point would be, I also agree with Snowman and Stones. I think they would be do very well at Coachella. I think they also fit the vibe. So those are two that I would like to see on stage, and I know would be successful if they were on stage. Also, I think Nissi would do very, very well at Coachella. Just because of his style, his vibe. He has done a collaboration with Saweetie in the U.S. He did one last year. So you can tell he does do some venturing back and forth between L.A. and Japan. I mean, would I like to see AAA there? Yeah, but that ain't going to happen. So I would definitely say Nissi would be one I could easily see there. Maybe Shinjiro Atai. I know he's been doing a lot more work lately in music. And he does go between LA and Japan a lot. And I also think he fits the vibe of Coachella as well. I also think Sky High's group, why am I blanking on their name?
Be First,
yeah. I think Be First, I could see them, maybe not next year, but I could see in the next 5 years, Be First possibly being a Coachella candidate. I think they are developing as artists, and their style is becoming a lot more popular. And I mean, they're gaining momentum and popularity. So I could also see them doing very well or being invited at some point. I mean, are there other artists that I mean, like, would I love to see Ayumi Hamasaki or Kota Kami there? Absolutely. But I can tell you right now that I could not, I don't think they'll ever be on Coachella stages. Not because they're not popular, but being industry veterans, and not to mention the cost of probably having them do a stage set would be extremely high. Just because looking at what they put into their concerts and shows, I know that would be a very costly production. And I don't know how much Coachella pays some of these artists, or if they don't pay them anything and they just go for free and be invited. I thought it was they don't get paid and it's just really a promotion for them. I thought that was my understanding, is a lot of these artists don't make any money off of it. It's just an honor to be invited to Coachella, but I'm not 100% sure. So I know that's how the Super Bowl is you don't actually get any money from it. You just get a small amount to do your stage set and pay your dancers and pay your staff, and that's it. So I don't know if Coachella is the same, but I think, you know, bigger artists with a higher production might be a little more difficult. But I mean, you see they've had Utada down there. So my dream of having like Kota Kami or Ayumi there isn't crushed. But I also feel like their popularity has waned in the last several years, so I would go with someone who's going to, you know, be who's more popular in and out. I could see Sawano Hiroyuki being there. Would I love to see Nakvane there? Absolutely. And I think Harukaze would do amazing, and I think they would also put on a great set list that fits the Coachella vibes. I think that'll be years from now as well, as Nakvane develops their popularity, their fandom, but I could see them doing very well at Coachella. And then another one would be Millet. I mean, Millet has been very, very popular. And I don't know if her vibe quite fits Coachella, but I think she would do well with her style just because of her voice. And I think she also has a personality that people could stick to. So, I mean, I am curious to see in the future where this will go, if they go more toward that anime vibe, because Yao Sobi, Hatsune Miku are artists that really capture that anime essence. So if they're trying to draw that crowd, I mean, I'd look at Imer, which I doubt she'd do it. She just seems a little too quiet to do something like that. But I also, that's another reason I stand with Millet doing that, because she's been doing a lot of anime themes, and I think that popularity would easily be there for her. And Ado would be another one because of her vocal range, and I also think her style would fit it, and it would be a very unique act. So those would be ones that I would think of. I would be neat to see the Tribe members there, because I would love to see Senda, Mace, J-Soul Brothers, or even some of the, you know, the Exile Juniors and that there. I think that'll be a bit, but yes, those were also artists I would consider being there in the future at some point that I think would do well. So, but yeah, those are the ones at least we would love to see at Coachella at some point. And I'm going to continue to keep an eye on it next year. And I'm looking forward to having this discussion and seeing who ends up on stage and see how they develop it.
Yeah, no, I think this is a good topic, Luna, and I'm glad we were able to talk about this today. Definitely got my eye on Coachella 2025 and seeing what they do for it. I think it's going to be very exciting.
All right, so you will hear more on this as it goes throughout the year. We'll give you guys updates when they do announce artists for 2025, although I'm sure that'll be more the latter half of the year and into next year, but we look forward to revisiting this topic again next year. And we hope you enjoyed the topic today on Coachella and the artists. And I want to recommend everyone to going on YouTube and checking out the artist page, especially like 88 Rising, their official YouTube channels have a lot of the coverage. Also, Coachella had an official YouTube channel as well. Go and check those out. Check out those performances. They are absolutely phenomenal. Also, check out a lot of these artists' Instagram because they posted snippets and clips from Coachella, photos, and it's a great way to get insight into the seeing these artists. So I recommend that. All right. And with that, be sure to check out our website at ongakutoyou.com, ongakutoyou.com. Also, be sure to follow us on X at ongakutoyou and like our Instagram and Facebook page. We do have some exciting news coming out. So Ken was lucky enough to do an interview at Stereo Dive Foundation and see their concert live. So stay tuned for that interview and also a review on that concert. I highly recommend checking out our website. And also do not forget the interviews that we were lucky enough to do with several of the other artists, thanks to courtesy of AVIX. All right, and I want to say a big thank you to all of our affiliates, Kyoru Hunter, who is a retro video game Twitch streamer. You can check him out at twitch.tv/KyoruHunter, KYORYUHUNTER. You can also check out Timber Taft at twitch.tv/TimberTaft, TimberTaft. You can also check out my sister, Rosalie, who's been streaming mainly Final Fantasy and some Monster Hunter Rise lately. You can check out her at twitch.tv/RainStarKitty, RainStarKitty. You can, last but not least, you can also check out Fangirl Has No Name at twitch.tv/FangirlHasNoName, FangirlHasNoName. And don't forget to check out Ken on X at OTYKen1, OTYKEN1. Right, and don't forget about the podcast that Kyo, Timber, Fangirl, and Ken do called Potasaurus, where they discuss various video games and the video game industry. You can find it on all podcast streaming services by looking up Kyoru Hunter. And Gray, where can we find you?
You can find me on X at Ongaku Gray, where I post about what I'm watching, what I'm playing, all that fun jazz. If you're interested in what I'm up to, just follow me there.
Right, and you can find me on all the social medias, such as X, Letterboxd, Kitsu, My Anime List, Anime Planet, as LunaMaria87, LunaMaria87. You can also check me out on Instagram as NerdyCollectorLuna, NERDY Collector Luna, where I mainly post about what I'm watching, what I'm listening to, photos of my cats. And then you can follow Ken, like we said, on X at OTYKen1, where he tweets about Bang Dream, Aina Aiba, D for DJ, and many, many more fun things. Right? And I want to just thank all of our fans and everyone for listening to us today. We appreciate it and hope you enjoyed our topic. Have a wonderful rest of the week. Ja matane.
And this is great. Thank you guys so much for tuning in, and we'll be right back here next time. Bye-bye.